Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to remember a little country store that used to set on what used to be US 27 South. That was before the big four lane down that way. It was called Teeter's Grocery. And we're going to be talking about the owners of that grocery, Mr. and Ms. Kirby Teeter, with their son, Bradley. We'll do that in just a moment after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning, this is Doug Fain for All Things Jessamine here on Jess FM. Glad to have you this Saturday morning as we continue to learn a little bit more about people and places and things in our county. Today, we're going to be remembering a little country store that's set on old US 27. That's before they did the four lane from here to Garrett County. It was operated by a couple named the Teeters, Kirby and Louise, and they had it for many, many years, and we are so glad that we have their son with us today, Bradley, who's going to tell us about them and their family and the store and how it got started. And Bradley, I guess to start, we have to go way back. We have to go way back because the store has been in your all's family for quite a few years. Let's start even further than your parents. Let's go to your great-grandparents and we'll work our way forward, okay? Who were your great-grandparents?
My great-grandparents were George and Lucy, I think.
And they grew up in what area of the country?
They were right there, as far as I know.
Right in the area. We're talking the Little Hickman area. Yes. Now, that's where the stores kind of got started, right? Because you were telling me your granddad started several.
Yeah. Well, they had one about a half a mile up the road from where what's the last known as a Montgomery store.
Right.
And my granddad built that and went from that little, it was almost like a, well, no, it's a long time ago, it was like a garage. And they built the store and moved down there. That's where he raised my granddad. Bill Teeter raised his family right there in that little house and ran the store.
Now, the store, I guess maybe I'm wrong, but back then it wasn't the main way to make a living. Did he farm and things like that?
He did farm too, yes. Yeah. But his main thing was making a living out of that store.
Out of the store.
Yeah. Of course, back then, people didn't run to town, you know, and he was a little Hickman, and he had to supply a lot of people. I understand it. And he bought their eggs and chickens and sold them groceries that they needed. So,
yeah, back in those days, you came to town maybe once a week, and that was a big deal.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, to do that. So your granddad built the store down there. Now, at what point did he build the one that I'm talking about, the one I remember on 27?
He sold that down there in right before I was born, which is 46, and he moved up to Nicholasville. He brought he went to work for Oscar Cumley.
Oh yeah, he had a store down here on Main Street.
He worked there and was a butcher there for a year or two, and he bought this place out on 27, then just a piece of ground, and built the store and the barn and the house and all as soon as he bought his head within 3 or 4 years, and that was in 40. He built a store, finished it up in 49.
Well, when he did that, Bradley, it's kind of like Little Hickman. He was way out in the country.
Oh, yeah. That was out in the country.
Way out. Because, then the travel to Garrett County seemed like forever.
Yes, sir.
Although it still seems like forever to me when I go down through there. Yeah. So he built that little store there, and that is the one in which eventually, I guess, was taken over by your parents.
Right. She was a beautician. Her and Opal Davis started Jessamine Beauty Shop, she sold it, she took over the store, and her and my dad, and my dad worked at the post office, and so she's pretty much mom there most of the time by herself. You know?
Well, let's talk a little about them in particular. Now, when was your dad born?
He was born in August. He just had finished his birthday. He'd have been 95 last week, and he was born in 21.
And he have siblings?
The oldest would be Robert Teeter, known as Robbie. He lived in Indianapolis, drove a Greyhound bus.
Yeah.
And And the youngest brother was, everybody called him Sheffy, and his name was William Floyd, but nobody would know that around
here.
And he ended up in North Carolina, so, and worked for Lee & Morris Tobacco Company.
So the three boys, that was it?
And no, he had two girls.
Oh, there was two girls.
Two younger girls, and Doris Cobb.
Yeah, okay.
And Dottie.
Right. Was married to Houston.
Married to Houston. She still lives out here. And the youngest one was Patsy Teeter, and she lives in Florida now.
Okay. So five kids, and out of those five kids, at some point in time, your dad, did he get into the store business first, or was the post office? Tell us a little about his life.
My dad was strictly a farmer, and he drove a school bus. Everybody remember him driving a school bus. If he hadn't drove a school bus, I guess I wouldn't been here, because that's where he found Mama. So
tell us about that. How did that happen?
He was driving a school bus, and Mom rode his bus, and
She rode his bus.
Yeah, she was 14, and he was, 20 or something like that.
Really?
I guess they put him in jail for that.
You know, I can't say much about that because I'm 9 years older than my wife, and we weren't together then, but I actually was a master of ceremonies at the beauty pageant at the fair that she won when she was 17, and I would have been 28 years old. And of course at that time, that was the last thing I was doing, was looking at 17 year old girls, and who, you know, down the road it just happens. But kind of like your parents, you know, you probably never thought of, I'm marrying that girl.
No, I'm sure not.
Yeah, but down the road, you know, they grow up, they get a little older, and age doesn't matter as much. So was there any special story behind how they got together other than he knew him for that way?
Well, just that she rode his bus, and they were, that's it.
And that's it.
That's all I know.
And she grew up, and they got together.
She grew up. My mom was born in the house down on Sugar Creek, right across the creek, the big creek there, and she lived there until they built the house over beside the store.
The store.
She lived there. She was born there and raised there. Her and dad lived there, and I was raised there.
Wow. So who were her parents?
Her parents were Robert and Charity Fain. Robert Fain was my granddad that he passed away when Mom was five years old, I think.
Yeah.
So, of course,
didn't know him.
Needless to say, I didn't know him. And my grandmother lived a little longer than that. She was born in 1899 and died in the year 2000.
101.
She would have been 101.
She didn't quite make that one, but she wanted to live to be
100, and she lived.
And she did.
And lived in three centuries. She said she thought that was going to be something. She lived in three centuries.
That's amazing.
So
saw a lot, too, in those three centuries.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that was your mom's parents.
My mom's parents, yeah. Okay. And that was my granddad, Robert Fain, his family. He just had one sister, and that was Thelma Holcomb, which everybody would probably know around here. She was a school teacher.
Right.
And was married to Garland Holcomb. So that was...
And Garland was a character.
Garland was a character.
Yeah, there's a fella, if you did a show, I don't know if you could do a show on all the businesses he owned.
I would be
because, you know, just the ones I knew about, it was from the car lot to, he was in the funeral business at one time with Bill Betts, I think, and a lot of different things. And that's a whole different story.
That's a different story.
So your mom and dad get married. Now, did your dad, was he a serviceman?
No, he wasn't.
Okay, didn't have to serve.
He didn't serve.
But they get married, and where did it take him career-wise? Where did he go from there?
They went where my mom was raised, where I was raised, in the farm on Sugar Creek Pike.
Oh, raising crops.
He went. Okay. He was farming.
Okay.
He drove a school bus.
Yeah.
He was driving a school bus
when
he and Mom met, you know, and he drove the school bus for 30-some years.
And you know, back then, Bradley, there wasn't many buses.
There was only like two or three.
Yeah. So you had him, of course.
Virgil Teeter.
Virgil, who was related. Yeah, he worked there from here. Lester Howard Beverly.
He's related.
And there was another fellow. We saw a picture one time, and it had Lester Howard, and it had Virgil in it. It was another old guy. African-American fellow, seemed like. And I can't remember his name. But yeah, that buses.
Let's try.
May have been.
I remember, but they
covered the whole county, didn't they?
Yeah, they covered it.
Of course, back then, I guess, a lot of your county kids didn't. Did they ride the bus to the school, the one-room schoolrooms? They walked.
Well,
Both, I guess.
In my memory, my dad drove that route down there where I was raised, and he ran the bus for Little Hickman School.
Oh, yeah.
And he started picking up at Black Bridge on 39 and came to Little Hickman School, and then went to Lock 8 and then back out and up on Cream Ridge, they call it.
Right.
And picked up all those kids and took them back to Little Hickman, and then when they got off, then he made a trip on down Sugar Creek and into town and brought a load for school, for Nicholasville school.
Boy, he had a heck of a route. Man. Oh, yeah. It wasn't things that you've just mentioned. Yeah. That's some driving. So he did that. Now, at what point in time did the store come along, or the postal? Which came first?
Well, the store was, like I say, the store was my granddad when he didn't like working for somebody else, I guess. I don't know that for a fact, but I would assume that since he'd already had a store and he'd come and rebuilt another one. Mm-hmm. So he went out to start running it in 49, which is when I was, I can't even remember, of course. And so he ran the store until, and Dad gradually helped him more and more and was in it more and more. And then when he decided to get out, that's when Mom kind of officially took it over. My mom and dad, and they ran it for 40 years.
Long time. But when she did that, it was after the beauty shop.
After she sold when she sold the beauty shop, she took over the store. That's the reason she got out of the beauty shop, because she...
To do the store. Now, would she have sold that to Marietta Hager?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. She had the beauty school at that time.
Yes, she did. And Mama went to her beauty
school. She went to her. So she turned into selling it to Marietta. Yeah, and in fact, that business is still in that family.
It's still in
family. Owned by, went on down to Vetus and into Maryland and down to Kelly.
That's
so
it
stayed in that family a long time.
Yeah.
But it started with your mom and Miss Davis.
And Mom and Opal Davis.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So she came to the store, and I guess it was out of necessity. It probably wasn't necessarily that she...
Well, yeah, she it was there, and
had to be run.
Yeah, and had to be, and so, and she liked it. She liked the store. Mm-hmm. She liked all the people.
Mm-hmm.
She fixed millions of sandwiches, I guess you'd say.
Oh,
she loved to fix shit. Well, see, everybody come to those sandwiches.
Yeah. You know, we did a show earlier with Ronnie Briner.
Okay.
About Briner's store and Miss Nancy Briner, and you know her, and those ladies like her and your mom. Yeah, there's no telling how many people they fed.
That's right.
Over the years.
Yes. And not only that, it's Mary Bell Montgomery down in Little Hickman.
The Montgomery store. You're right.
She fed people for years after she took all end up at that store. So.
And some people might listen to this, especially nowadays, some people might listen to this, the younger generation, and think, oh, yeah, maybe I've seen that old building sitting there, and that's a little bit. And, you know, how in the world did they stay in business? But as you said, back then, you didn't just get in your car. You know, Bradley, I live 4 miles from town.
Right.
It doesn't seem near as long now as it did when I was a kid.
That's true.
You know, that 4 miles back then was a long trip. Now it's just a minute or two.
Yeah.
So things have shrunk, I guess, as you get older.
They really have.
Yeah, and back then, these country stores, I mean, they were hopping, and they served a big bunch of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did, and... I don't know if all the stores, I assume they was that way. My granddad, he ran tickets on people, all the farmers around, or the people in the community, he ran.
Yeah.
And then when they'd sell their tobacco or cattle or whatever it is, they would come in and settle their account or something. So that was it was a big deal back then.
And he didn't have to worry a bit about it, because he knew they were coming, and they would make good on the word.
I don't know. I've never heard anything different.
That's the way they did it.
Trusted everybody in the community, I think so.
And the thing about it too was even though the size is not as big, it was somewhat back then like a mini Walmart, in that it wasn't just sandwich. I mean, they had everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you wanted a pot or a pan or
or
something like that, or anything that for a household use, I think
it was there.
Tried to have, wash tubs and coal buckets, everything. I remember seeing everything in the store.
Yeah. Right. Now, at what point in time did your dad then decide to be in the civil service with the post office?
Gosh, he was around 50 years old, so that would have been early 70s, around 70, 71. Don't know exactly, but they were starting an auxiliary route.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, I think they only had like four or five routes in Desmond County, and they were starting another route, and he was asked if he'd like to take that route, you know, and so that's when he began working.
Was it down in that area of the county?
No, it was out in, he watched Tate's Creek Estates.
Oh, really? Out in the out northern, in there, northeastern
that was,
part?
That was a big part of his route as Tate's Creek Estates grew.
Yeah.
And the other trailer parks up there, that was a lot of his route. He had all those trailer parks. But that was before it became a full-fledged route, and then when he did, then that's when he became civil service and worked.
Yeah.
Suppose he was hard and ran the route. And
boy, he worked with some good ones there.
Absolutely.
We mentioned names a while ago. You want to mention some names, some of the guys that worked at that place.
Yep, that's right.
From Julian Jeanette.
Oh, yeah.
Poor old Julian. I remember one time, Julian, and this was when the old post office was down here on the one I remember is the old one. Of course, we can go back even further up on Main Street, but
I remember that one.
Down behind Nixville Baptist Church in that area. And seeing him and some of those people like your dad that you know, they, back then when everybody knew everybody.
Oh, yeah, everybody knew everybody.
And they almost could probably switch routes without any problem because they knew everybody that was on the route, on each other's
route. That's probably true,
yeah, a lot of good people worked in the post office at that time. Would he have been Roger Easley, or is it after that, or do you know?
It was after that. It was
John Hunt?
John Hunt.
Was the postmaster. So did he do that until he retired?
He retired when he had 15 years into post office.
Okay.
He was 65, so he retired from there, and he and Mom just continued running the store then, and he ran it until he passed away.
Now, at some point in time, during all this that's gone on, they decided they need to start a family. Let's talk about that. Talk about you and the rest of the family here. How did you? Are you the oldest?
I am the oldest. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the best son they had. Being how old I was, and I was born in '46.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I got my sister's Thelma Watkins.
Right.
Worked at the post office also.
Yes, she did.
And now she's been working at the bank some. And
did she work there when your dad worked there?
Yes, he
did. Okay. It's just you two kids.
It's us two. That's right.
Yeah. So you both grew up in that setting of that old country store.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, my sister, after Mom took over the store, my sister, before she started the post office, she went in with her.
Oh, yeah?
And they ran the store together for several years there. As a matter of fact, she raised her family.
Yeah.
Her kids were small and had a playpen and everything in the back. And so as when her kids were small, she was in the store business with my mom. So
times were so much different back then, weren't they?
Absolutely. So much different.
And there's no telling if people like you and Thelma and the Montgomery kids and the Briner kids could have had the foresight to start writing a book about the things that were said and the stories that were told in that store by the old farmers and people like that that come in and just some of them true and probably a whole lot of them that weren't.
Absolutely.
But good times.
But good times. That's right.
You know, we talked about with the Briners, it was a hub. It was a community hub. And I'm sure this store was the same way where people met from that area of the county.
Oh, yeah.
And it was kind of like if something major happened. I mean, that's kind of was a meeting place.
As a matter of fact, the store, there was a petition back in the back made up of Coke racks, a bottle pop. And in behind that was a stove in an area with all chairs for people to sit and loaf and spend the day. And
that was an important part of life. Probably business deals were made right there on that stove. And I'm talking about farmers and all that kind of thing, you know, and trading maybe livestock, whatever could have been made. But stories told and just good times.
Charles Wilson, I'm sure a lot of people know Charles. He was there at the store a lot with Mom and when we shut this door down, or when she did, there's an old TV back there, and I took it to Florida with me, and I was going to take it. He said he didn't know why I'd want it, because all the plays soap operas.
When your dad, now what year did he pass away?
In 95.
And
Christmas
Eve. How long did your mom keep the store?
She kept it, of course, closed there for about 6 months after Dad passed away, and then she reopened it, and then she ran it. At that time, by that time, the four lane had came by, and it cut off our road there to most of the public, so it was mostly just locals, which gave her quite an outlet to see her friends and right. all the people and fix sandwiches for all the local people. She kept it open until, I think it was 2003 when she shut it. And she her legs, she just got where she wasn't able to get around. People know right. she had her knees replaced. And,
yes.
And, which helped a lot, but she continued to get worse.
Was she ready for it, or was it a feeling of I've done it and I'm ready to stop, or was it I'm really
sad? She
did
it for so long, and she knew so many people,
mm-hmm.
and even up until the time she passed away, she loved to go out and eat with Gail and I. And she would anybody she'd run into, they'd say, "Oh, I wish she was still there and fix me a sandwich." And she'd say, "Walk up, say, now who was that?"
A
lot of people she couldn't even remember.
Yeah,
their names,
Right. So, you know, I remember them very well, and I had the pleasure of knowing both of them. If you had to describe as a dad, if you had to describe Kirby in a word, what would you use?
My dad was, I would say, he was very strict. As far as he wanted things done his way.
Yeah.
And I was raised, I knew that no one option when he told me to do something.
Sure.
He showed me that several times.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. But, he was all-around good guy, and that's, I just got fond memories.
Yeah. What about your mom? How would you describe her?
Mom was very loved to all her family and friends. She was very loving, mm-hmm. and kind of gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Probably maybe the opposite of dad. I don't know as far as that's concerned.
It's good balance, I guess.
Yeah.
Good balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those days at that store have got to be the old song, Precious Memories.
Precious Memories.
Yeah.
I've got one other one there I want to tell you before
sure.
I forget it. She was, I was still working at IBM. And I stopped at the store, and there was police cars, and back then it was before cell phones, so I didn't know anything was going on.
Yeah.
And somebody had two men had came in and actually robbed her and grabbed her behind the cash register, uh-huh. and walked her back to the back of the store and put a gun to her head, and the state policeman was interviewing her as I went in, and he said, "Ma'am, what kind of gun was it?" She said, "A great big gun."
I kind of remember. I halfway remember what that. How long would that have been? Seems like I remember that.
Probably in the late 80s.
Yeah. Had to scare her to death.
Oh, he scared her to death. It was serious. She ran from him. The reason they grabbed her with the gun. And he pulled it and put her arm around her neck and put that gun upside her head. And that had to, wouldn't it scare anybody to death?
But she was open the next day, I bet.
She was open, yeah. She was very cautious for a long time after that.
Right.
She wasn't comfortable in there like she was before.
Yeah, I understand that.
But it took her a while to get over it, yeah.
Your dad, you said, died in 95?
95, right.
And that doesn't sound like it's been that long ago until you realize it's been 21 years.
Yeah.
A lot has changed in this town, in this county, in 21 years. What do you think he'd say if he could come back for about 5 minutes and look around?
I think he'd say that things have changed a lot.
Things have changed. Now, was he living when they four-laned? Was that after?
Yes. Yeah, he was.
So he saw that.
He saw the four-lane, yeah.
Yeah.
He never did understand why they had to go around through the field instead of coming up where the other road was. He never did.
Yeah. And, that's right. Yeah.
So.
Because that is, if you go down 27 now, if you go down 27, and you can still kind of see, I guess the best landmark that people might know now, there's a little road that turns to the right that goes to the big house that is all God's children.
All God's children.
And right down past that, there's a little road called Vineyard, and there's the building that was a store. I guess it's still there, right?
It's still there, yeah.
But if you go down 27, you look to your right, you kind of see that over there, and you need to realize that over there was the original 27.
Yes.
So they came quite a bit east to put the new road and left that, quite a bit over there. Because, let's see, lived on that, David Grow, I guess, lived on that corner.
David lived on the corner.
And was Ray Warner on the other one?
That Ray Warner. Warner was on the other.
On the other corner, right across from the store. And it's quite a ways, quite a ways over mm-hmm. back behind there. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about, why he would think, why did they do that?
And then when he got to Bethel, they crossed the road, and then the road is on the...
Went on the other side.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you're right, because if you go down past Bethel, if you go down that that little service road to Camp Nelson Heritage Park. That's old 27
they
on that side.
Loop 2 now.
Loop 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that would be the appropriate thing. Boy, things sure have changed.
Things sure have changed, yeah.
Sure have changed.
Yeah.
Well, our time, believe it or not, has come to a close. I appreciate you coming and remembering a little bit about the store, and especially your parents. You had great parents. I remember them very fondly. And, of course, I've been fortunate enough to know a lot of your family, the Teeters, and even on your wife's side. We didn't even mention that.
That's true.
Lord, she down from around that area of the country, too.
All the Canners.
All the Canners.
I'll
tell you this real quick story, and you can share this with her, about her dad.
Uh-huh.
A.G.
A.G.
For those that didn't have the pleasure of knowing this guy, just as
they missed out a lot.
Oh, my gosh. As nice of a gentleman that ever walked in this town, as your dad was, too. One day, I told him this. One day, he scared me to death because in 1979, my grandfather, Cecil Rohr, died.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both about the same height. They were both about the same build. They both kind of wore their hair the same way. And one day, I was in the courthouse, and I turned the corner, and there stood A.G. Canner, and he had on that khaki shirt and pants like he used to wear, that exactly like my granddaddy Rohr used to wear, and I thought I saw a ghost. I thought it was granddaddy, and I looked at him, and I was startled, and I said, "You have scared me." And well, he got the biggest kick out of that.
Oh,
but I'll tell you what, you had as good an in-laws as you did parents. You got lucky.
Yeah, and she's still, man, I was still.
Yeah, I haven't seen her in a while, but yeah.
She's still doing okay.
Yeah, good. But yeah, there's a lot, I tell you, we've had a lot of good people from all of Jessamyn County. Yeah. But you start looking down in that area, Little Hickman and Pollard down in there, boy, I tell you, some real stalwarts of Jessamyn County have come from that area.
Absolutely.
And your parents, two of the best. We appreciate you sharing with us. And I know a lot of people in this county remember that store and have fond memories of that place. And it's a shame that progress comes at us like it does. And for those people that never had the opportunity to be in an old country store, you missed out.
They missed out.
They missed out. They sure did.
Yep.
Bradley, thank you.
Thank you.
My thanks to Bradley Teeter for coming in and sharing a little bit of history about his parents, the Teeters and Teeter's Grocery on 27 South. We appreciate their contribution to our community. And we appreciate you tuning in every Saturday morning to All Things Jessamyn. We enjoy bringing you this information and hope you learn a little bit from it. We'll do it again next Saturday at 11, all right here on Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamyn County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamyn County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamyn County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.